Hi, and welcome to the Campcast for December 2005. My name is Tommy Feldman. I'm the host of the Campcast. Tune into the Campcast for the latest on people, ideas, and events in the world of camp and youth development. The Campcast is the first podcast in the world for camp and youth development professionals. This show is about ideas, business, and fun. In each show, we discuss topics that range from managing people and money to designing a program and telling a joke. We're located on the web at www.thecampcast.com. At the website, you'll find links on information that we refer to in our show. If you'd like to contact us with suggestions, feedback, or ideas, please email info@thecampcast.com. And we will respond to you as quickly as we can. Today's show is our second show, and it, like the first, is brought to you by the American Camp Association Young Professionals. Are you looking for connections in the camp industry? Want to find ways to get more involved in ACA? Trying to connect with a mentor or someone who will guide you through the first steps of becoming a camp professional? That's what ACAYP is built to do. You can find information for yourself or the young professionals in your organization at acayp.org. In the future, we'll be looking for broadcast sponsors of the Campcast other than the ACA Young Professionals. If you're a business or individual that would like to sponsor a show, please go to the website and contact us, or contact us through info@thecampcast.com. Today's show has two segments on it. The first is an interview with Chris Thurber, a renowned psychologist who does a lot of work in the camp industry and has a great camp background, talking about technology in camp. The second segment is with Steve Silberman of Boulder, Colorado, someone with a lot of experience as a camper, a staff member, as an administrator in camp. He works with troubled youth, emergency services. He does a lot of facilitations for camps and groups, and he will be presenting us one of his favorite get to know you activities, much like we had in the last show. We thought we would build your repertoire of those for a little while. So sit back, and here we go. Welcome to What's on Your Mind. That's our segment in which we're going to talk to camp people around the industry and hear what they're thinking about, what's hot, and what's going on. So with us today, we have Chris Thurber, who is a licensed clinical psychologist, camp consultant, and author of the Summer Camp Handbook. So Chris, what's going through your mind today?
One of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately is the place that technology has in camps. And I don't think you'd find any camp director who would disagree that technology in some way is not useful at their camp. Indeed, there are many applications of technology, but with the proliferation of electronic technologies in particular, camp directors are having to be more and more thoughtful about the application of those technologies. And it's really not a question of being pro-technology or anti-technology. In fact, a lot of people are surprised when they talk with me because I grew up at a very traditional boys camp in New Hampshire, and I still work there, and I would consider myself a camping traditionalist. They're surprised to learn that I work with some technology companies, that I embrace a lot of forms of technology. But as I said, it's not about being pro-technology or con-technology. It's about being pro-children and pro-camp. So the first thing a camp needs to think about is, what is its mission? Instead of coming up with a list of devices that are forbidden or allowed at the camp, the first step is for the camp to think clearly about its mission.
Okay, and I'm guessing that most camps don't have in their mission, bring your iPod with you to camp. Is that right?
That's right. Well, that's exactly the problem, is people go from thinking about what they're trying to do at camp immediately to a list of devices. And if a camp doesn't have a written mission statement, that would be a first step. The next step would be to say, all right, this is what we're trying to do with the campers at our camp. if that's the case, what are we going to allow in principle or not allow in principle? And again, if you get hung up on particular devices, you'll be frustrated because in a couple of years, they'll be junk and something else will have taken its place.
Right. There's a lot of stuff out there right now. You could put together a list of 100 things not to bring. So how does a camp create a list, or how do they manage that problem?
Well, they can come up with a set of principles. For example, if they say part of our mission, part of what we're trying to do with campers at our camp is promote self-reliance, they might then say that in line with that mission, we don't allow campers to communicate with their parents using electronic technologies. Parents can communicate with campers by sending emails or perhaps faxes or use electronic technology to communicate with their kids, but then their kids need to write traditional letters or postcards back. That would just be a simple example. And if a camp says our policy around electronics is that campers basically don't use them, that makes it easy. You don't have to come up with a list of devices. Or you could say, we're going to restrict the use of electronic technologies to, you know, flashlights and watches and necessary medical devices. But otherwise, campers don't use electronic technology, consistent with our mission of wanting to cloister these boys and girls in the outdoors and get them to interact with each other instead of with technology.
Seems to me that it's a great opportunity then for a camp to actually teach the campers and the parents really actively what their camp mission is. Then it's a matter of how do you deal with then on the day-to-day basis when the camper comes in with their iPod plugged in or their cell phone with a camera on it. How do you manage that?
Well, of course, you know, there are two things wound up in your question. One is, these kids have been brought up using these technologies. So one of the things camps need to do is educate very early, prior to the start of the season, new camper families and returning camper families about the camp's mission and the electronics policy, which is born of that mission, and begin getting these families adjusted to the notion that we allow these kinds of things, but not these kinds of things, and provide the rationale for it. And again, I don't take a particular stance on what camps need to do, except advocating that their technology policy be congruent with their mission. The other thing that's going on, besides that kids are accustomed to communicating with these technologies, is that you're going to have parents whose anxieties cause them to break the rules. So they say, oh, I understand, you know, that Mountain Day Camp doesn't allow cell phones, but I'm going to pack one in little Johnny or little Sally's backpack anyway, just in case they need it. And that's wrong for two reasons. One is, you know, kids are watching their parents break the rules and maybe even getting chastised at camp for somebody else's mistake, their parents' mistake. The other thing is, if people are breaking the rules, you have to realize that's an expression of some need they have. Parents have a need to keep in touch with their children. Children have a need to keep in touch with their parents. And right alongside your technology policy, you need to say how you provide for those connections. So it's not about we don't allow connections. What you want to say is, in lieu of talking with your son or daughter on the cell phone, we provide, say, one-way email service through this or that company, and we also encourage kids to write at least 3 letters a week or something like that. So you let families know that there are substitute forms of communication that will help them make those connections. You're not robbing them of that, but you're altering their experience very intentionally because it's in line with the mission of your camp.
Seems to me another good example of how we can partner with parents to teach them, you know, and work with them on what it is we're trying to do in general with camp. It's not any different to me than a candy policy or other things that we just have to deal with every day. I think as someone who's comfortable with technology, there are a lot of camp directors out there who are not, and I think they should not see it as anything different than another opportunity to work with parents, teach them the mission, and get them involved in the decisions they make sending their child to camp. Is there a place that we can find out more about this? Have you been doing some some thinking.
Indeed, I have. The January-February issue of Camping Magazine has an article which discusses these issues and also provides a step-by-step process that camps can go through to design electronic policy, electronic technology policy. Very few camps have one articulated, and I was talking with some of our colleagues today. We tried at the camp where I spend a good deal of the summer to devise a policy and were unsuccessful because we started in the wrong spot. We were trying to make a list of devices, but as I said earlier, you need to start with your mission statement. So if people take a look at the January-February issue of Camping, they'll see a thorough discussion of these issues and be able to sort of follow a step-by-step process by which they can write an electronics technology policy, and then I would say immediately begin sharing it with your camper families.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. This has been great. It's ahead of its time, and yet we need it badly. So thanks for your thoughts on this, and we'll look forward to the January-February issue of Camping Magazine. Chris Thurber is a licensed clinical psychologist. He's a camp consultant and author of the Summer Camp Handbook. He speaks a lot at lots of conferences. He's going to be at the national conference coming up. We're speaking to him here today from the Rocky Mountain Section meeting. And you can find out more about Chris at his website, which is www.campspirit.com. We'll have a link to that website and more information about Chris on the campcast.com website, which is thecampcast.com. Thanks a lot, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Here we are in our in-between segment time. I just want to remind you that you can reach our sponsor, the ACA Young Professionals, on the web at acayp.org. You can also find out information on the ACA Camps website, the main national ACA website, at acacamps.org/youngpros.
All right, welcome back to the CampCast. With me now in studio is Steve Silberman of Boulder, Colorado. Steve has a lot of experience in camps over the years, both as a camper and as a staff member. He's worked in after-school programs, he's worked with troubled youth, and he's very involved in emergency services. Welcome to the CampCast, Steve.
Thank you, Tommy.
Each show, we want to provide something useful for you to take home with you for around the office, around staff training, or with the campers during the summer. And that's why Steve's here. So what do you have for us, Steve?
Well, I'd like to talk to you guys a little bit about my favorite game. It's a get-to-know-you game. It's a great icebreaker. It's called Have You Ever? It's published in a number of books, but it's definitely one of my favorites. It is basically a game that you can get together with any group. Kids, staff, you can do it with corporate groups. You can do it, I just recently did it with a public service dive team down in Denver this week. It's called Have You Ever? Basically, it is you get your group together, you have everybody stand in a circle, and everybody has a marker. Your marker could be anything from a paper plate to a base, anything you can stand on that isn't going to blow away too quickly in the wind. Everybody starts out standing on their marker in a circle, about shoulder width apart. One person is not standing on a marker. There's an empty space. At this time, you need to explain the rules. And you ask your group to think of something that you've done that somebody else may not have done, something unusual. Tommy, do you have something unusual that you've done?
Oh, let's see. I've traveled to the southern tip of South America, say.
Okay, so Tommy's standing in the empty space without a marker, and he says to the group, have you ever traveled to the southern tip of South America? And if at this point, if you have traveled to the southern tip of South America, you need to step off of your marker and find a new marker. Now, obviously, there's no running or pushing or shoving during this game. You must walk slowly and be cautious of the people around you. But if you can answer yes to the question, you move off your circle or your marker. The person that's left over must think of their question and ask the group. It's just like musical chairs, but with a little bit of a twist to it.
So there's always someone maybe who didn't get to another marker as quickly, who's left over.
Exactly.
At the end of the game. Okay.
Exactly. And it could happen that you get to that spot multiple times. So you need to come up with a number of things that you might have done in your life that's unusual. So It's a lot of fun. You get to know people real quickly, and you get to know some of the fun things people have done in their lives, and it creates great conversation and can potentially create really good working relationships or just conversation starters for your future day or your future plans or whatever you might be doing next.
Sounds like a really good game for a group of people that don't know each other well or think they know each other well, and you could challenge them, challenge the people in your group to find things you didn't know about each other. Also, to me, it seems like for campers, it could be made very safe in that it's okay to be the one left over because you get to share something about yourself and get to see what you have in common with other people and really be the person who's directing the game.
Exactly. And the other fun thing is you can do this with a group of five people. You can also do this with a huge group of people. I've done it with a group of 50 to 75 people, and obviously you need to use a louder voice when doing it, but it creates a lot of fun and a real neat dynamic, so numbers is not a problem at all.
Sounds great. That's a perfect activity. We'll post some more details on the web, maybe a drawing or something if it's hard to visualize. So that'll be posted on thecampcast.com. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Steve is here in Boulder, Colorado. He works with all sorts of people doing team building. He's worked at after-school programs. He's worked with troubled youth. He's very involved in emergency services around town. Do you have a great idea or something you want to share with us for this segment? We would love to hear from you. It's always a challenge to find something that comes across well on the radio. We can post stuff up on the web. We would love to have you, the audience, participate in this. We don't have to do it in studio. We can do it over Skype or the phone lines. Before we close out the show, we're going to go over a few things on the calendar. The EPIC crew, the Emerging Professionals in Camp, had a successful event in New York City on December 8th. The San Diego YPs had a small gathering down there that went very well. And coming up in the future on the calendar, I see that the Southwest region is having the Southwest Camping Conference January 10th through 12th. The ACA Upstate New York Conference is January 25th through 28th. And of course, the ACA National Conference is taking place in Chicago the 7th through 10th of February. Students for that conference can enroll for free to come. That's a $485 conference for $0. So if you are a student and you'd like to be involved and come to the National Conference, it's a great opportunity. If you have a student in your organization, whether they're working for you full-time or part-time or just around, you know them that they're in the Midwest or they can make it, maybe it's time to get them involved in the conference. It doesn't cost you anything, and pair them up with a roommate, and you can take care of them that way. The CampCast is now available on the iTunes Music Store. You can do a search for The CampCast, and it should come up, or you can search my name, Tommy Feldman, and it will come up. Still classified under news as a category. Really, we're not that. We're just a podcast, so we're working on that piece of it. Special thanks to Chris Thurber, Steve Silberman, and Sam Brando for the music. That's it for the CampCast, and we'll talk to you soon.